the crew all season long on WTMJ. It's Brewers Extra Innings. Now, live from American Family Field, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
Milwaukee, pat yourselves on the back right now. That was incredible. What an atmosphere at the ballpark today. Brewers win 5-1. That certainly helped. But man, I walked in today thinking, I really don't know. Members of the media, I mean, there'll probably be boos, but I really don't know. I was in a scrum like 40 deep listening to Craig Counsell today. And then, bam, right off the top, boos, chaos. They let them know real quick. No. This is a rivalry, and you're on the other side now. And the tone was set from the jump. I mean, this felt like an NFL game. This felt like an NBA game. This felt pure animosity. This felt like a college football rivalry game. Pure hatred. This was wild today. This was incredible. And nothing crossed the line. Nothing got out of hand. That's how it's supposed to be. Well done. Well done by everyone. That was a really fun environment. And the Brewers won. 5-1, the final today. I'm Dominic Catronio. Jerry Augustine is with us today. Augie, man. Dude, I mean, we all were ready for this game. I don't think we were ready for this game.
I think we are ready for this game. I think anytime when you have Craig coming back, and I have mixed emotions on the booze. I guess because I know Craig so well. I've known him since he's been 8 years old, and he gave his heart and soul to the organization. And a lot of what's going on with this Boo ball club now is going on because of him. And so, yeah, he did leave, and he did go to the rival. It's always going to be a rival with the Cubs. But you know what? Let the fans do their booing. I think Craig respects that, and let's play baseball. And he couldn't have been asked for a better baseball game than we had today.
I mean, the game itself, if it was against the Rockies, would have been this entertaining, right? This was really fun. The atmosphere just added on to it. This game was scoreless through seven innings, and the Brewers finally busted it open in the bottom of the eighth inning, taking advantage of an error and then the big swing by Willy Adames to make it a 4-0 game. And Jackson Churio got on the party with an RBI double as well. It was 5-0 at one point. 5-1 was the final today. The phone number, if you want to join us here on the program, is 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. Today we get to talk a lot about left-handed pitching, Augie, and I know that's what you love to talk about, because Robert Gasser, if it wasn't Craig Counsell's return, Gasser would be the headline today, because 6-plus innings, 7 strikeouts, 3 singles. I'm sure he would have loved to have finished that 7th inning, but if there were run support, he would have been given an opportunity to. Robert Gasser has stabilized this rotation, and he has quietly been one of the most important arms for the Brewers now moving forward.
Yeah, there's no question. He's so impressive when he comes out. You know, you look at what he does. First pitch strikes are in the 70%. That's almost unheard of when you'd be able to do that on a consistent basis. You look at his pitch count today. He threw 80 pitches, 63 for strikes. That's amazing when you talk about the amount of percentage of strikes that you throw and you commit. But, you know, I watched him pitch today, and I'm trying to figure out, you know, who does he remind me of? What's the style of guy that he reminds me of? He's got a little bit of Mike Caldwell in him. I think when you look at what he does, he commands a strike zone a little bit different than Mike. Mike used to use a sinker, sinking fastball. He used the cutter fastball a little bit, maybe like a Wade Miley throwing a baseball. But, you know, he commands a strike zone. He pitches to zones. He works on angles, and he just commands a strike zone. Very seldom does you see him go to 3-ball counts, and that's a real credit to him. Stay in the counts where you can be ahead and you can make your pitches, and today he did a great job.
Yeah, and the big success for Gasser today was the amount of first pitch strikes, like you're talking about, getting ahead. He had a first pitch strike to, let me see here, 18 of 21 batters faced today. 18 of 21 batters had a first pitch strike today. He had no walks. In fact, in his big league career, he has yet to fall into a 3-0 count. The dude is throwing strikes, but he walks that line of, hey, I'm going to throw strikes, but I'm going to throw quality strikes. I'm going to hit the corners. I'm going to get up in your grill. I'm going to go soft away. I'm going to go elevated. He can throw to every quadrant of the zone, to every edge of the zone, with, quite frankly, every pitch in the repertoire, which is why I think he's so successful sitting 93-94.
Now, he's a little bit different from most lefties. Most lefties are built on the sinking fastball. A lot of guys, like you see, Wade Miley likes to pitch on the inside part of plate. But the one thing that I really notice about Gasser, he pitches to the right side of the rubber as you're looking at the plate as a pitcher, to the right side. That angle gives him a dead straight angle where? Right to the inside part of the plate where he likes to dominate. He throws that four-seam fastball. He's not a big two-seam style fastball. The ball sinks a lot. He'll throw his changeup out away from hitters a little bit that has a little bit of fade on it. But he really has that four-seam fastball that he can locate and get a little hop to it. And he can locate that to all four quadrants, like you just said. That and that cutter. He keeps the cutter down. He's a kind of pitcher that pitches down in the zone, the old style of pitching down in the zone. But when he needs to go up, he goes up effectively. He stays out of that middle quadrant of the strike zone, and really that makes him effective. And that's the way he was today. You look at him down in the lower half of the strike zone, but then when he needed it, he'd go in that upper third of the strike zone. Stay out of that middle part of the strike zone, you won't get hurt. He did a great job today.
And furthermore, he didn't even have an at-bat with a runner on second base until he was pulled from the game when the first two batters reached with singles in the seventh inning. He really got to cruise. He got to sit in his, you know, rhythm. And I know the Cubs' offense has been, quite frankly, awful in the month of May, but he did what he was supposed to do against an offense that was stacked with righties. The only lefty in there was Cody Bellinger. And you talk to lefties and you talk to guys who are used to facing right-handed hitters. It's like, yeah, my arsenal is built to get right-handers out. And you kind of played into that hand immediately, like you're talking about with being able to hit the corners, the cutter being low. It's like there was nothing hit hard. There wasn't any sort of big drama against Gasser today until he was pulled. And quite frankly, the Cubs lineup just played right into exactly what he wanted you to do, is that, oh, if you want to take and get comfortable, well, blink and you're 0-2. Oh, you want to try to swing early? You're not going to get barrel on this ball. And Robert Gasser, is, you would think, four starts in, is only going to get better.
He has great sense of feel for a pitch. You know, we saw him today when he throws fastball on the inside part of the plate and really locate the ball for the strike zone, or even when he had some really good strikes down in a way. Those were four-seam fastballs that he really went down in the zone or up in the zone and really located the good spots. But the one thing that's different about him, Dom, when we talk about a cutter, a lot of times you talk about a cutter that has a little bit of tilt, which I mean it goes from, it'll go from a right, like from a lefty would be, go from a, like 11 to 3, but it's short and it's quick and it's like a fastball. His isn't like that. He throws a cutter because of his arm angle. He has that low three-quarter arm angle. The cut is more of an east-west cut, but he locates it so well. What does he do on his own? I don't think it's a call pitch, but that little sweeper he's got. He'll throw that sweeper, that little bit of off-speed pitch. It has good downward plane movement. He keeps it down in the zone. And really, that's what makes him effective. He has such confidence in that cutter and that sweeper that he can throw down his zone, use a changeup effectively like his four-seam fastball, and then pitch his fastball to four quadrants. That's what makes him successful. He's a little different. He isn't your natural, your guy you look out and you say, hey, he's a left-hander. He's going to throw A, B, C, and D. He's a little bit different, but he's effective because why? He throws strikes.
Strikes are the name of the game. Another lefty we got to talk about here in this first segment before we head to break and talk about the offense. Brian Hudson. I'm out of words. I am truly out of words. He goes two innings, just one base runner, an innocent single there in the eighth inning. He strikes out three. Nothing was hit hard. He broke a couple bats. He got some help from his defense. Brian Hudson has a sub-0.8 ERA. It's getting harder and harder for him to lower his ERA at this point in the season. And he comes in into boiling water, and he drops a couple ice cubes into it there with first and second, nobody out, strikeout, pop out, strikeout in the seventh inning, and that gave all the momentum over to the other dugout. Brian Hudson is an all-star pitcher despite not being the closer. He might be one of the best pitchers in the National League, even though he's not the closer.
I think he's a little bit different when you talk about he's a lot like Milner. They throw out of that lower arm slot. And what they do is their ability to dominate both sides of the plate with their fastball is so important. You watch these guys when they need a good fastball. Yeah, they'll throw the ball up in a zone in the upper quadrants, but they really dominate that lower quadrant with their fastballs. When you do that from the angle of, unlike Gasser, who pitches from the right side of the rubber facing the hitter, those two guys stand on the left side, which changes that angle. And when you think about a guy being 6'9", Randy Johnson-like, coming from way out down low, and you can throw that ball to zone, that angle is so difficult to pick up. And that's, I think that's what makes him effective. But Hobie's the same way. Doesn't throw as hard, but they angles him. They don't throw that high three-quarter, low three-quarter, and you come down from there, and you can locate the ball on the inside part of the plate, outside part of the plate, down in zone. That makes that sweeper or their cutters or their sliders that much better. And I'll tell you, both of these guys have just been fantastic because they do both throw their sliders to both sides of the plate. When they need to go up in the zone, they will, but they can also throw that changeup. But I'll tell you, effectiveness comes throwing strikes, number one, and they both do it. And number two, being able to keep the ball down in the zone with that good breaking ball down that starts in the zone and breaks down out of the zone. Very effective.
Brian Hudson, 3-0 record, 0.59 ERA. Among relievers with at least 20 innings this year, only one has a lower ERA. That's Emmanuel Clase, the closer for the Guardians. He's got 30 and a third innings, 36 strikeouts, just 7 walks. Opponents are hitting like a .150 against him. Furthermore, yes, he's allowed 2 runs this season. Well, one of them was an inside-the-park home run on an ill-fated dive by Sal Frelick against Ellie De La Cruz. The other, he thought he got Patrick Wisdom out on a strike 3 call. Instead, it was called ball 3, and on the very next pitch, a little stroink in the center for the second run that he had allowed all year. That's it. That is all Hudson has allowed. He has been incredible. Thank you, Los Angeles Dodgers. Let me get to a couple of texts here before we go to break. 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. This one from Doug. I think we all knew when the lefty went out, it was a win, and then they broke it open. Thanks to Gasser, they had a chance to do it. I agree entirely. It was a anybody but Justin Steele type day. What an atmosphere at the ballpark today. This one from Josh in Milwaukee. Willie was the spark plug we needed in the eighth, but Gasser is my player of the game. He's been nothing but impressive so far, and he matched Steele pitch for pitch today. Let's do it again tomorrow. Mason in Green Bay, love seeing Terang and Bowers in the lineup against a lefty, and Steele looked healthy, especially with the recent struggles against traditional left-handed splits. Do you think that shakeup happens more often with lineups moving forward? Also, Hudson is absolute nails. I agree. Let's talk about the offense coming up next. Brewers win 5-1 in game one of a 4-game set with the Cubs. Back with more after this on 620 WTMJ.
You're listening to Brewers Extra Innings, presented by Fifth Third Bank on WTMJ.
Fifth Third Bank is the presenting sponsor of Brewers Extra Innings all season long. Brewers win 5-1. I'm Dominic Catronio. What a night for the crew. Game one of a 4-game series. Fifth Third Bank, though, also knows how to hit it out of the park with a local Milwaukee team. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities to help your business succeed. It's commercial banking value that only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC. Let's talk a little offense here. Let's talk about what the Brewers got going in the eighth inning, and how about pulling the correct lever for Pat Murphy to go to Sal Frelick off the bench. He was previously 0-for-8 in his career as a pinch hitter, and he lines a single into right center to start off the frame against a really tough splitter pitcher with Mark Leiter Jr., and that really set things in motion. And for me, in that eighth inning, the at-bat that's going to be forgotten is Bryce Terang's great walk. He was behind 0-1. Then took the next 4 pitches, a couple of splitters in there too, that really kept the heat turning up and up and up. And then ultimately, it popped when Madrigal made the error against Contreras.
Yeah, when you talked about that inning when you had Leiter come into ball game, it's all about throwing strikes. What's the difference when you look at the Brewers start relief bullpen? When they come into ball game, they don't strike, they don't walk. You look like today, the only walk was to Wisdom, and that was a really close pitch that could have been called a strike. So when you look at the Brewer pitchers coming in, they're throwing strikes. When you look at what Sal Frelick did when Leiter came in, he knows he has that good split single pitch that it goes out of the zone. He stood up there and he gave him a good at bat, got a pitch that he could handle up over the plate, and was able to hit it in the gap where he got the base hit. And then Terang. After 0-1 count, he with that good pitch, that first pitch, I thought Leiter made a really good pitch. He fought. He sat up there and just took some pitches because he knows Leiter's strength is that split finger. And if you can't command the strike zone and you can get ahead of him as a hitter, there's a good chance you're going to get a good pitch a hit. I thought that, like you said, Dom, I thought the Terang walk was a huge walk. Being able to go 0-1 to fight back and get that walk there and laying off those good split finger pitches, I thought that was huge and set the tone for the inning.
I was very surprised Craig Counsell went to Hayden Wesneski after the game was 1-0, but there was only one out. You had a splitter guy up there who gets ground balls, and Willie's kind of a free swinger, and Wesneski has a great slider. I understand there was something the Cubs in that matchup that they liked. But how about Willie Adames? I did the numbers on this. 3-0. That was only the 10th time he's ever swung on 3-0 in his career in 56 career plate appearances that have gotten to 3-0, or rather, I should say 56 career plate appearances that end in 3-0, not necessarily the only 3-0 counts he's seen, but he's only swung 9 times coming into today on a 3-0 pitch, and kudos over on the television side that Bill Schroeder called and said he's got the green light, be ready, and he got a fastball down, did not miss it. Willie Adames, 2-for-4 today. He needed some good news in his direction, and 427 feet to dead center is certainly some good news for him.
You know, there's, after that misplay at third base when they had that double play ball, it was hit awful hard. Madrigal had to make a really nice play on it. I thought that the strikeout to Yelich when you saw him there, that Leiter came in, he was able to strike him out, got that good split finger. I thought what Craig Counsell was thinking there, I need a strikeout. With Willie Adames, if I can get a guy with a good fastball, get ahead of him, and he's got that good slider. Wisniewski's got a good breaking ball. If I can get him, I can get a strikeout, maybe leave it at 1-0. We could fight back here. And I thought that's what Craig's thought processes was there. Get a strikeout rather than maybe have Leiter, who is falling behind in hitters and who depends on that split finger. So I thought the move was not a bad move. I just thought that what happened is he got behind 3-0. And I'm going to tell you what, Willie Adames got a pitch in the zone that he could hit, and he put a great swing on it. And really the difference in the ballgame, hitting that big home run.
This text made me smile from Tom in South Dakota. I take back everything negative I said about Willie in the last month. Now I'm already feeling upset that we're going to lose him in free agents. Hey, don't think like that, Tom. Enjoy it while it happens. We're only a third of the way into the season, and this was seriously a really big moment for Willie to try to get back on track. But I love the unrelenting effort of the offense today. You had the walk to Ortiz. It was his only time on base today. But Churio showed some signs today. We're not going to overreact to a 2-for-4 day for Churio. But for him to go to the opposite field once, also get a pair of 2-strike hits today, make some solid contact, is certainly encouraging for him, given he's been in and out of the lineup recently. But Churio continuing to be like, okay, you can see moments where it's like, ooh, that was good. He made a great play in right field today. Like, ooh, that was good. You keep stacking up these good games for Churio, that is going to groom some confidence for him moving forward.
You know, I like the swing. I like the first hit he had off of, when you look at what he did off of steal. He got a 2-strike pitch, a little breaker ball up in the count. He stayed back on the ball. He went right with the pitch, was able to drive it into left field for a base hit. Good patience on that ball. But the ball he hit the right center, that's his power. He hit his first home run in the big leagues to right center. When he stays back on the ball, gets, I don't care how hard you throw, gets a pitch up over the middle plate and just goes that way. He swings it back very well. He put a good swing on that ball, was able to get a big run for the Brewers there. I like his approach today. Good staying back on a 2-strike pitch on a breaking ball. What do you want to do? You want to stay back on the ball and let it travel a little bit. He did that, got the base hit. And then on Wisniewski, got that good fastball away from him, was able to hit it in the gap. So kudos for Churio today. I thought he had 2 really good at-bats.
Yeah, and when you look at this lineup today, we mentioned it in the last text a little bit ago before the first segment ended, that there were 2 lefties aside from Yelich. Yelich is a given that he's going to be in there against the lefty. But Bowers and Terang got starts, albeit in the bottom third of the order, against a left-handed starter. Now, to be fair, neither one of them got a hit off of that left-handed starter, but Bowers reached on a hit-by-pitch, and Terang reached on a walk. Maybe this is a sign of saying, you know what? And the leverage bullpen for the Cubs, by the way, is all right-handed. You're not going to see any leverage lefties coming. Their only lefties in the pen are Drew Smyly and Luke Little. Neither of those guys really pitch in leverage situations. So the thought is, hey, maybe even against Shota Imanaga on Wednesday too, you're going to see the lefties in there for that same reason as well. I liked it. I really did. Let's get a sample size and give these lefties a chance to go against left-handed pitching, because when Garrett Mitchell comes back, you're going to be even more left-handed, so there's going to be decisions to make when it comes to left-on-left matchups.
Oh, I like the approach by both those guys. Say both Bowers and Terang. You see Terang had two walks today, but his approach was so good at the plate. One thing these guys do, when you look at Bowers and what he's done, we've seen him hit a home run against a left-hand pitcher, and you see him go with the pitch. When he gets a two-strike pitch and it's lefty on lefty, he's got that willingness to take the ball the other way, whatever pitch it is. If you want to get him out, you better show him on a pitch on the inside part of the plate, and you better get it for a strike there. Otherwise, you throw a pitch away, they're going to put a good swing, both Terang and Bowers. And I thought they had some really good at-bats. Bowers got robbed on a great play, otherwise would have had a base hit. But both the guys' approaches at the plate are patient. They go deep in the counts. They take a lot of pitches. And if you make a mistake, they're going to swing the bat and they're going to get a base hit. And so I like the approach by both lefties today, along with Christian Yelich.
Yeah, I think you just got to give them a shot. You know, let's see what they can do against lefties and let's stack it up at the end of the year and see what it looks like. A couple of texts here, 855-616-1620. Welcome to call in as well. Happy Memorial Day, Dom, from Aaron in Illinois. What a win. I think we have a solid lefty in our rotation, and Hudson's work this year has been great. Maybe the MVP of the bullpen so far. Not maybe, he is. Nice to see Churio have a good game. It seems he's starting to get it together. And any update on Hoskins? He hit on the field today. He has been receiving ground balls. The last check for him is to run full speed. He is listening to the advice of the medical staff. I know he wants to be back within the next week, given the Brewers' head to Philadelphia, his return back to the organization that drafted him. So he's trying to get himself back for that, but we'll listen to the medical staff on that. Mike in Colorado, listening on the radio, the Brew Crew fans were absolutely incredible. It sounded as though the crowd ratio was like 3-1. One of the best games I've heard in years, and cheers to the fans. I hope they made it rough on Benedict Council. That made me chuckle there as well. And finally, Tom in Pewaukee, I was at the game, and my gosh, that atmosphere was electric. And Bob Gass getting ahead in counts left and rights, finally found the strikeouts in a big way. Hopefully he can learn to climb the mountain. That is the third time through the order, because the pitch count was in great shape. Take a breather. Come back with more. Talk about overarching thoughts about Council in this series as the Brewers win by a 5-1 final. This is Brewers Extra Innings on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings.
That was a fun one. That was a fun one. Brewers victorious 5-1 over the Cubs, game one of a four-game series and a seven-game homestand. I'm Dominic Catronio. Jerry Augustine is with us as well. I've got the player of the game poll up on my Twitter account at Dom_Catronio. This one's pretty level right now. Gasser is starting to take the lead at 57% of the votes. A couple of votes. Ed saying, other, all of the above. The great thing is that all of these guys, this one from Rebecca, all these guys are awesome choices. It's just never one guy. They all work together and support each other. Egos checked at the door. This one from Josh, Pat Murphy. This one from Laura, you can't make me pick. Aaron in Illinois, hit the gas. So plenty to choose in this one, Augie. What Gasser did today, it was his fourth start ever. And quite frankly, his stability has been huge for the Brewers. And being able to say, I openly asked, all right, on Thursday, we don't know the rotation yet. Is Gasser, a rookie in his fourth start, going to pitch in that environment? And man, in the words of Pat Murphy, he was locked in from the start. And he really kind of showed us what he's made of today, that even in all this atmosphere and all this chaos, he's able to lock it in and deliver his best performance yet.
Welcome your challenge, and that's what he does. I tell you what, he's one thing that's so impressive. I really like the way his style of pitching, where he pitches down in the zone. He knows his success has to be down, and he's got that lower arm angle. He's a little bit different than you see out of a traditional left-hander. He's down in that lower arm angle. It's a little bit like Hudson, a little bit like Milner, but he keeps the ball down. I would say when you look at the guys and the arm angles that you're seeing, he's like the equivalent to a right-hander, Freddy Peralta. When you think about Freddy and what he does, the way he pitches, he gets elongated, his arm angles down, he throws the ball, and he really doesn't throw the ball on a trajectory downward plane. He throws it on an even plane, but he's got good location. He locates the ball on both sides. I think when you look at Freddy Peralta and you look at Gasser, a lot of similarities, only one's right-hand and one's lefty. And the one thing about Gasser, commands the strike zone. When you're looking at 80 pitches, 63 strikes, that's domination. When you're looking at 18 first pitch strikes, that's domination, because what you're doing, you're giving yourself an opportunity to win the ball game. And I thought he's been outstanding. He's just been a real positive for his pitching staff. And if you go pitcher to game, player to game, I tell you what, today it has to be Gasser.
I agree entirely. Let's talk a little, though. I mean, I was there with Council, said hello, shook his hand, and save all the hellos for tomorrow, given how chaotic it was today. But all things considered, and I know you talked about your relationship with Craig, given you've known him since he was a child. And for me, obviously, I've only known him in a professional setting. I've always enjoyed my time with him. I've always learned something from him. And today, I don't think he was caught off guard by the reaction he got, because he saw the smiles and he just kind of have to wear it, right? I mean, what else is he supposed to do? Be stern and be like, I can't believe they're booing me? No. Like, I think he handled it as well as you could have in that situation. No one was surprised. I think for me, the overwhelming, like, absolute no doubt booing. You know, I'd always thought it was going to be mixed. No. No doubt 100% boos. I did not hear any cheers. And Council smiled about it, moved on, and I'm sure this is maybe the start of a new normal for him anytime he's playing in Milwaukee. And I tend to agree with some fans who say, look, if he had joined 27 other teams, it would have been a standing ovation, thanks for all you've done. But because it's the Cubs and the other team being the Cardinals, that's why we get the reaction that we've got.
Yeah, there's no question. You know, Dom, I'm going to put it a little bit different way. I thought the boos were actually a sign of respect of how much they miss him and what they care and how much they like what he did here. When Craig Council here and he took over this organization, he changed the culture. He changed the culture to say, hey, you know what? Be a good teammate. Be a good person. Let's have a great relationship. Let's do there's no standards to how well you can be. He brought all that culture here, and I thought today, you know, I saw the smile on his face, and, you know, if they would have cheered him, I'm sure he would have smiled also. But I think it's a sign of respect saying, hey, you know what? Boy, you mean a lot to us, and you know what? You did so much. We don't mind you leaving. We don't want you going to the Cubs, our big rivalry. But it was, a little bit of a sign of a funny way of showing respect for someone who did something really good for Milwaukee. How do
now,
you like that,
looking-
Tom?
I like that. I look at it saying, you know what? He did everything in this market except win the whole dang thing, and it's really hard to win the whole dang thing. So I all-time winningest manager. Some folks were confused by the tribute video. Like, why would you even try? It's like, look, you play the tribute video. You take the high road as an organization. You let the fans do their thing. You weren't going to be able to control the fans one way or another. They weren't asking the fans to get up and cheer Craig Council. The organization, I think, putting out that tribute video right before the starting lineups, it was 20 seconds long, for goodness sake. Let's not overreact to it. Just saying, hey, thanks for all you've done, but now you're the enemy. Let's play ball. And I thought that was very well handled. And you're right. The boo is a sign of respect for Craig Council. On this note, though, all of the energy of today and everything that went down, this is just game one of four. And cool, now you've leveled the season series to a piece. You got to avoid that letdown tomorrow. I know Freddie's got the ball, but tomorrow you can have that adrenaline flush out of you. It'll still be a packed house, maybe not as packed. Just got to make sure you don't fall flat tomorrow or the rest of this series.
Well, the only thing about momentum, you say, oh, man, the Brewers had a great momentum. Gasser pitched a great game. Steele pitched a great game. Our bullpen came in, did a real good job, as they usually have been doing. Adames hit the big 3-0 home run and gave us the cushion to win the ball game. But you know what? Momentum only goes one day. It's your starting pitcher the next day. Now it's in the hands of Freddie Peralta. These are big series. This is a real nice series to say, hey, you know what? We've been to your place. We've played in your place. You had the fun of playing in Chicago. Now you're in our house. Let's see what happens. And I think this series is going to be a fun four-game series, and hopefully the Brewers can continue it on with Freddie Peralta tomorrow night.
All right, Jerry Augustine will be with us again tomorrow night as well, talking some Brewers. Appreciate your time, Augie. And, man, this was fun. Can't wait to talk more tomorrow.
All right, it's a rivalry. Hey, we got a great rivalry now. We just got great Council rivalry, and that makes it all that much more fun. But a big game for the Brewers tomorrow. Today was awesome. What a great day to go to the ballpark and see a game well pitched and win like the Brewers did today. So let's keep it going. Let's win tomorrow.
This was a lot of fun. All right, Jerry Augustine on WTMJ. We'll take a breather. We've got more to talk about. Some fan reaction rolling in as well. 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620 if you want to join us on 620 WTMJ.
Welcome back to Brewers Extra Innings.
Fun times. Fun times indeed. The Brewers win 5-1. Brewers Extra Innings is also brought to you in part by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Trusting your family's comfort at home all year long with Sider. And you've only got a few days left to save $25 on AC preventative maintenance appointments. You can check up on that at Sider, SEIDER.com. Again, Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Find out more at Sider.com. You know, we talked about it briefly there with Augie at the end about, hey, this is just game one of a four-game set. You're going to face the best pitcher in the National League on Wednesday. Don't get too big for your britches. But at the same time, to see this response after, quite frankly, an underwhelming and a frustrating series down at Wrigley a couple of weeks ago, to have the Brewers come out and make this statement late, I thought was massive. And to say that, hey, wait a minute, don't forget about us. This is for real. The rest of the Central is just sort of stuck in this weird neutral pattern right now. I mean, the Reds win again today. They had quite the holiday weekend, sweeping the Dodgers, and then today they get the win against the Cardinals, who have been playing a lot better as of late. But as the Brewers continue to dominate the division, I mean, this is going to be a story later in the year when we start talking about divisional records, and we start talking about tiebreakers, and we start talking about how you're doing against head-to-head, right? So the Brewers, they've already won six of the first seven games against the Cardinals this year, meaning they only got to win one of the final six to claim that tiebreaker. They've won a series against the Reds. They're now 2-2 against the Cubs. So far against the Pirates, they had split at Pittsburgh, and they won the series here. So they're up 4-3 in that one, so a little more to figure out. But the Brewers now, they have played the most games of anybody in the Central against the Central opponents. They're now 14-7. Next closest is Pittsburgh. They're 7-7. So 7 games above 500 versus a team that is 500. You are building space. I don't care about the standings. I care more about the head-to-head right now, because the compressed nature of this series with the Cubs means it's going to be over in the blink of an eye. We talked about it. You've got this 4-game set. You'll have another set over a weekend at the end of June here in Milwaukee. And then finally, you blink coming out of the All-Star break, that midweek series coming out of the All-Star break. Boom, you are done with the Cubs before the trade deadline. So to claim a season series as early as possible is going to be massive. I think it's going to come down to the wire, given now each team has won two apiece. The Brewers are now 31-22. The Cubs fall to 500 at 27-27. You look at the rest of the National League right now. The Braves just lost Ronald Acuna Jr. They're currently 6.5 games back of the Phillies. The Phillies have the best record in baseball at 38-16. They haven't really played anybody yet, but they're doing what they're supposed to against inferior teams. They don't have Trey Turner for a while. Their pitching staff has been phenomenal, and the Brewers will see them next week. But the rest of the division, you know, the Mets have not taken off. Now there's going to be rumors about Pete Alonso being traded. The Nationals have been a pleasant surprise, but they're still not quite ready yet. So it's likely still just going to be a Philly-Atlanta representation in the East. The Central behind the Brewers is wide open. And I'm not saying the Brewers are going to run away with it. I'm just saying if there's going to be a second team in involvement, it's wide open at this point because they're all within 3 games of each other. The Cubs, the Cardinals, the Pirates, and the Reds. I think the Pirates, with their pitching staff, you cannot count them out. And they're maybe one or two moves away from getting some bats to make them think that they're a dangerous opponent. And then the West, we know the Dodgers are going to run away with it, but the Padres are finally 500. The Giants are finally 500. The Diamondbacks have been playing okay, and they haven't had Merrill Kelly for the majority of the season. The National League is going to be up in the air all the way up until the deadline, until the teams decide if they're pretenders or contenders. But the only thing that you can control is your division. And the fact that the Brewers are 14-7 against their division is going to be very, very important. Before we get to a break, I want to get to the phone lines. 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. Mike in Milwaukee, you're live here on Brewers Extra Innings.
How you doing?
Hey, Mike.
Hello. Okay, here's a thing I got to say. The reason I had the call was when you said we're going to be facing the best pitching that there is. The best pitching in the league is what you said, I believe.
With Shota Imanaga on Wednesday, yes.
Well, my opinion is, with a team that has the best reliever in Major League Baseball injured and not coming back right now, and all the other things that we've got going against us, I think we have the best pitching going right now. Think about what we've got right now. We've got two of the greatest pitchers in baseball right now that are off and injured. One's not coming back this year, and one we don't know, the reliever coming back later, Williams. Okay? We're the best ones, and that's why we're in first place. They are nothing compared to us. My belief, we are the greatest team in the National League right now. I don't know about, if you talk about the Yankees, they blew us away a few times, but I still don't believe in the Yankees being as great as they are. You know, this is not the 27 Yankees, the 61 Yankees going on. Bottom line is, we're better than what you were saying, and I'm sorry to have to say that. Don't sell us short. It sounded like you were selling us short.
No. I hear you, Mike. I hear what you're saying, Mike. I'm saying you are facing the best singular pitcher, as in Shota Imanaga, on Wednesday. That is going to be a tall task on Wednesday. I'm not trying to loop the whole Cubs pitching staff, because look at their bullpen. It's a dumpster fire right now. Because the Brewers, you're absolutely right, Mike, to do what they're doing without Devin Williams at the back end of the bullpen. So imagine, if you let yourself imagine, if Abner Ribe gets himself back on track down in AAA, and JB Bukauskas comes back healthy, and you have Devin Williams come back healthy, that's three impact arms, and all of the guys in your bullpen will be considered leverage relievers. That is quite the weapon to have for the Brewers moving forward, even though they've moved Bryce Wilson into the rotation. Brian Hudson's going multiple innings. We are certainly seeing an incredible development from the bullpen from the Brewers. There are still plenty of questions in the Brewers starting rotation. They have been fantastic in the last couple of turns. Colin Ray, need to see him get back on track though as well. But I agree, Mike, the Brewers have been sold short, but we're only a third of the way in. This middle third of the season is going to really define if they are for real. And in theory, Gasser's going to get better. Freddie righted the ship right about this time of year last season when he got back on track. And you look at what the Brewers have coming back, there's no reason to believe that they're not going to be any worse than what they are right now. But I agree entirely, Mike. Thank you for the call. I'm up against the break. Got to take it. Up next, we're going to hear from Pat Murphy as the Brewers win 5-1 on 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings.
Brewers get the victory 5-1. The new manager of the Brewers, Pat Murphy, saw his old mentee kind of get booed to oblivion a little bit today. But here's a little bit of what Pat Murphy had to say after today's win.
They might not have watched it. Did you guys watch the game?
I watched the whole game.
You did?
Uh-huh.
Who are you rooting for?
Brewers.
Who do you like on the Cubs?
Dansby Swanson.
You like Swanson?
Mm-hmm.
How about you? I like Dansby.
Murph, for Gasser to go from six strikeouts total to this point in three games to, seven or eight tonight, like, what did you see differently in his stuff and his execution?
Yeah, I think you got to credit William, too. But, he had the little cutter going. He hadn't thrown many cutters. Okay, hold off on that, okay? He hadn't thrown many cutters, and then he had a good changeup at times and took advantage of the outer half of the plate, and I thought he did a great job. Maybe he was – that's big for a young kid, a rookie, making his, fourth start? I wanted him to keep going because his pitch count was low, but felt like, Hudson was the guy. He's been great. Hudson – deserves a lot of credit too. He came in a jam and he absolutely did the job. So
that's the third time now in those four starts for Gasser that he's given you six innings. How important has it been just for him to come up? No big league experience coming in, stepping into that rotation. You guys needing innings and just being able to give you that length every time out.
We're almost one third of the season in, and we've used 11 starters. So that's the answer. You know, like to have a guy be able to give you six every time. And this is it's not totally surprising, but it is kind of remarkable for a kid to come up and do that so quickly.
Some,
some of these games have been pretty big atmosphere, too. The Cardinals' first game. Today is a full house. I mean, are you learning a little bit about his heartbeat as well?
Yeah, I think we are. I think we are learning that. You know what I mean? You watch what he did today. His focus was impeccable. Did he walk one or did he walk zero?
Zero.
That alone, you know. And this is a team with some experience. I mean, this is not a team that has a bunch of rookies on it. I mean, this is a team with experience, and they have aptitude, too. So credit to Gas, Hudson. It's great.
Let me walk through four starts. I mean, you talked about how remarkable it is that he's going out there giving a lane, but for a young guy to be able to know this one that well.
And he's humble, and he's, you know, he's still looking to improve, and I thought it was great. The environment was great. You know, I'm telling you, that was, you got to want to be part of that.
For Willie, that was his first homer on a 3-0 count, and only the 10th time he's ever swung on a 3-0 count. But he said out there, that's just, you want to be aggressive there, and that's the situation, so you go for it.
Absolutely. That kid's got a really good breaking ball, and I think he knew he was going to get a heater right there, and he's got to get the ball out in the outfield. And if you look at that pitch, the ball's a little bit, I'll bet, it's a little bit below the zone. Might be called a ball. But he put a great swing on it. And when Willie doesn't try to do too much and he stays in the center of the field and he's ready every pitch, he's a special player.
Special players, special plays. Some of the younger listeners will know about that one. Brewers get the win. Let's relive it with some highlights up next. 5-1 on 620 WTMJ.
Ready for this?
Get up!
This?
Get up!
And this?
Get out of here! Go!
Time for tonight's highlights. Here's Dominic Catronio.
All right, we all knew what today was. Craig Counsell's return to American Family Field for the first time in the visiting dugout. Plenty of boos were heard throughout the night, but there was a ball game to be played. It was a battle of the Southpaws. Robert Gasser and Justin Steele. This is all about the pitchers early. Got some help from the defense early as well. Bryce Terang getting it on the act.
3-4 from St. Louis. Gasser delivers this one lined and caught. Bryce Terang as high as he could leap, able to make the play and take a hit away from Madrigal. Nice play by Bryce Terang, lost out on the gold glove to Nico Horner at second base. Might be Bryce Terang's this year to lose. He's had a heck of a season defensively.
Both pitchers were scoreless through five innings. In the sixth, Gasser was back to work for a second time through the order.
Gasser, here it is. Struck him out, swinging off speed. Another strikeout for Robert Gasser. What a game. Wow.
That was a career-high seventh strikeout for Robert Gasser in his young career. But the problem was, it was still nothing. We fast forward now to the eighth inning. After Gasser exited with two on in the seventh, Brian Hudson escaped the seventh inning with a pair of strikeouts. He returned for the eighth. A man was aboard in a scoreless frame, and he kept the electricity up.
Hudson throws home, runner goes, swing and a miss, and Hudson struck out Nico Horner. No runs, a hit, and a man left. Bottom of the eighth coming up.
Still 0-0. Finally, some action began. Sal Frelick started off the bottom of the eighth, pinch hitting. He lined a single into right center. Then Bryce Terang worked a really tough walk against Mark Leiter Jr. and set the stage for the exact guy he wanted up, William Contreras.
1-0. Ground ball left side. It eats up the third baseman. Here comes Frelick. He scores. Terang to third. 1-0 Brewers.
You would have been happy with that as Jeff Levering's call came across WTMJ. Yelich would strike out as the next batter. Still men on the corners. New pitcher Hayden Wesneski came in to face Willie Adames. He fell behind 3-0.
3-0 pitch. Fly ball deep center. Bellinger back. And it is gone! Home run number 8 for Willie Adames. And he has busted this one wide open.
427 feet away. That made it 4-0 Brewers. And just for good measure, how about Jackson Churio getting in on the action?
Wesneski deals. Fly ball right center. That's headed towards the gap. It is down and off the wall. Ortiz will score. An RBI double for Jackson Churio.
7 of the 9 starters all reached base today. The Brewers win the game 5-1 in game 1 of this 4-game series with the Cubs. We'll wrap it up and preview the rest of the week after this. Brewers win 5-1 on 620 WTMJ. I'm on top of the world. Hey. All right, last couple minutes here of the show. Back to night games the next couple of days. Brewers Cubs 6:40 the next two nights. Coverage begins at 6:05 with the On Deck Show right here on 620 WTMJ. So that's both tomorrow night and Wednesday night. The pitchers tomorrow, Freddy Peralta for the Brewers against right-hander Ben Brown. He is a rookie, young right-hander. He's been in and out of the bullpen this season, but they need some length out of him tomorrow. Then on Wednesday, it will be Bryce Wilson, who had a great outing against the Red Sox back on Saturday, or rather on Friday, I beg your pardon. Bryce will get the start against Shota Imanaga, still a sub-1 ERA. He has shattered some MLB records as far as the thoughts of all-time National League pitchers, which is kind of wild to say for Imanaga. And then on Thursday, it's a noon game, 12:10 first pitch. Coverage will begin shortly after 11:30 here on 620 WTMJ, as that one will feature Colin Ray for the Brewers and Jameson Taillon for the Cubs. Like I said, this last week, you get a split, you're happy. You win the series, you're absolutely vibing. If you get a sweep, now that's ridiculous in a four-game set. The Brewers have already went 3-1 against the Cardinals in a four-game set, just showing how hard it is to get a sweep. But hey, you can't win them all if you don't win the first, and the Brewers take game one 5-1. Thank you to everybody who listened, everybody who tweeted, everybody who followed along. We'll do it again tomorrow. My thanks to Jerry Augustine as well, and to our producer, Evan Witz Allison. Happy Memorial Day, and keep on swinging.